I have found maybe one of the most frustrating things in the last 4 months of this COVID operation is not sharing your opinion with those who aren't Christians and disagreeing with them, but arguing or sharing your opinion with those who say they're Christians and they disagree with Scripture. They disagree with what's in the Bible. They communicate it and define it by themselves. And they go, well, it might be in the Bible, but that's not what Jesus would say. What? Okay, Skippy. Listen, it's hard to take a stand for what's real. But when the enemy is not just somebody else, but in your own head, it's even harder. And that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer! It's a Monday! What a great... I had an incredibly awesome weekend. I spent the weekend with two of my heroes in the faith. One of my heroes in the bodybuilding world, Aaron Baker, Mr. USA, Batman. Tom Scarella, one of the strongest men of faith I know. Blind eyes open, ears open. I mean, amazing. And we got to hang out this weekend. It was just a rush. Hope you have friends like that you can hang out with. Hey, hit me up at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com if you have any insights, ideas, thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, or complaints. I'll take them all. And it seems like lately people have complaints. You know, I think this COVID is really stripping away what people really are. And maybe that's the benefit. Maybe as we go through COVID and the stress in life, it really shows us what the colors are of people, who they really are, where their faith really is at, where their attitudes are at, where their theology, their scripture, their mindset, their belief system is at. It strips it all away, and we find out, so that's where you're at in your Christian walk. It's nothing like a little bit of COVID-19 to show us who you really are. Yes, and I'm beginning to see who many of you are. Hopefully you see who I am. I'm not changing. I'm living by scripture. So, got into a little discussion, shall we say, about, you know, the whole thing is, would Jesus wear a mask? Why don't you wear a mask? Whatever. You know what? You know what? Jesus is my mask. That's all I have to say. Jesus is my mask. Okay, let's get into today's topic. I've already covered one. Let's do another. I want to talk to you about four mindsets that you have that will stop you from being all that you can be. These are what I might call the four horsemen. You know, the four horsemen of death. Crink, crink, crink. They ride in. You're like, oh my goodness, the four horsemen. I believe these are the four things that we hold on to in our life that keep us from achieving and being all we can be in our finances, in our marriage, in our job, in our spiritual walk. And again, the thing is this. They are things that we rationalize. We choose to believe. That's why we have to be so careful to call them out and look at them biblically and realistically. Number one of the four horsemen. And by the way, who's the dude who gave me this idea? Oh, that's it. Robin Sharma. Robin Sharma posted an article that I got in my email, gave me ideas for this. So Robin, shout out to you. Thanks for the ideas. I think he's a believer, not sure, but he's got some good stuff. So, horseman number one, lies. Your excuses are liars. Your doubts are liars. The more time you rationalize why you can't become all that you wish, you fertilize and enforce the prison your mind operates in. Your excuses in time actually become real restraints and not just lies. Did you hear what I just said? When you lie to yourself and you come up with all these excuses, in time, they actually become real restraints and not just lies. You build your own prison, to quote the band Creed. Don't hate me. I like Creed. What does Scripture say? It says Satan's a liar. John 8:44. He's a liar. It says there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Look, the danger is not being lied to and believing it. Listen how I finish this quote, okay? It's so important. The danger is not being lied to and believing it. It is lying to yourself and believing it. Why? For in that moment, you have created distrust and therefore can no longer believe in yourself. Let that sink in for a minute. See, Satan whispers in our ears as if it's our own thoughts. And if we choose to believe him or ourselves or anyone else that's contrary to what Scripture says, we are choosing to live outside of our potential and our destiny. Okay, whew, you know what? That's worth listening to a couple more times to just let it soak in. But let's keep moving. Ready? Number two, you're it. Remember that game? You're it. No, you're it. No, you're it. No, you're it. What is that? That's blaming others. You go, well, you're the reason. No, you're the reason. No, you're the reason. We give all our power away when we look at other people and blame them. We reinforce this victim mindset. You know, we what we really do is we create a procrastination pattern, which becomes our identity. We don't do things. We can't do things. We find reasons not to do things. And it's always somebody else's fault. And this becomes the pattern of our life. And we fall into the mindset of, woe is me, this is just my life. Let me lay this on you. Ready? The greatest, single, most metaphysical momentum changer is choosing to take responsibility for oneself. What are the top three things in your life that frustrate you? Now, take responsibility for them and change them. And if you're about to say, well, I can't, or but, well, I, no, no, no. See, that pattern has already crawled into your brain. Call it out, take responsibility, and change it. One of my favorite quotes ever, if you could find the person responsible for all your problems and kick them as hard as you could in the butt, you would not be able to sit down for a week. Number three, focus. The third horseman is focus. Focus can be a form of complaining. The more you focus on what's not working for you, the more you'll be training your brain to look for those things in your environment that just aren't going to work. You just complain and you focus on complaining and your brain now finds all these things to complain about and you literally re-circuit your brain to complain. You focus on how little money you have and all you see is scarcity. You focus on how mean people are and all you do is see mean people. You focus on lack of opportunities and you'll witness more closed doors. You don't believe me? This was proved to me in my own life. Kim and I went on vacation in Florida about 10 years ago. We rented a car. It was an Arcadia. Never heard of it. Loved the car. We were convinced that we didn't see them in Minnesota at all because they must not be good in the snow, but they were everywhere in Florida. We got back from vacation, walked through the airport. A friend of ours picked us up, and driving out of the airport, we saw Arcadia, 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 Arcadia. What happened? Our brains, it was blank. We didn't know to register Arcadias until it was brought to our attention, our focus. And now our brain was reframed. We begin to see them everywhere. Start focusing on opportunities. Here's the challenge for you. Ready? Pull out your phone. Write down all the opportunities to serve God, pray for others, etc. Then for a bonus, write down all the opportunities to make money within your skill set. Now, what should you expect? In the next 2 to 3 days, you'll begin to have a dozen or more so flood into your brain. Write them down. And then you'll begin to have even more flood into your brain. Write them down. And pretty soon you will be walking in a new mindset where you're now focusing on what God can do and what opportunities, there's a lot of them out there, opportunities are available. What's Matthew 6:33 say? Seek me first. Why does God say seek me first? Focus on God first. Why? Because then you'll see God in everything. You'll see His will, His opportunities, His blessing, His gifting, His open doors. Horseman number four, the final and last horseman. I like to call it the horseman of flatline or blah, 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 blah. My life has flatlined. I don't like it. You just don't have the energy to go after life. It just seems bleh. Why? Is it your health? Maybe you don't have the energy because you don't take care of yourself, but mostly, and I would almost guarantee or bet, it's due to the fact that your goals are too low. They have no spark, no wow factor. My goals are my alarm clock in the morning. Did you hear that? My goals are my alarm clock in the morning. They wake me up. I love John 10:10. Jesus came to give us life, and life abundantly. That word Zoe, life, means above and beyond, bubbling over, explosive life. So why don't we feel it? Because somewhere we've exchanged God's life for our own lower expectations life. You can call it a life-free life, if you will. A life that protects us from failure by not going after God's life. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Just think, if I made you a guitar, it would probably be okay. But what if the greatest luthier ever made you a guitar? It would be astounding. Do you want you to make your life, or do you want God to make your life? God's life is above and beyond what you could expect. The author of life is giving us a handmade, perfect, amazing life. I don't mean perfect as in no problems. I simply mean the perfect life for us in order to be all that we can be. Why would you not go after that? Well, fear. So let's end with this. If you press into God and experience His love more and more, what does Scripture say? It casts out all fear. And then you can push in even harder for His life, His goals, His accomplishments. And that is the end of the Four Horsemen. Until tomorrow. You know what? I went long enough. This could have been like a two-parter, three-parter, but hey, it's a bonus. It's Monday. Until tomorrow, keep slaying giants.